turn again tonight to the same passage that I read for you last week, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 33. And we'll continue with that thought process that we begun last week, living in the light of eternity. Before I read the text, let me remind you that I shared two concepts to begin with, and perhaps by the end of this evening, you'll see why these two concepts are important in the understanding of the passage. Concept number one was that we do not live life based on the facts of our experiences, but rather based on our interpretation of the facts. Now, let me say that again. We don't live our life based on the facts of our experience, but rather our own interpretation of those facts. What I mean by that is no two people see everything in life the same way. The two of you, you and your wife, are in the movie together. She's sitting there and she's sniffling and snobbing and wiping her eyes, and she's engrossed in this movie and it's breaking her heart and it's got her attention, and you're sitting next to her thinking, this popcorn needs more butter. No two people see things the same way. And it works in life in general. It's hard for a husband and a wife to discipline children because no two people see things exactly the same way. It's hard for any of us to have friendships and relationships without there at times being some stress involved because no two people see life in the same way. The second concept was this. No one in your life is more influential than you are. You are the most influential person in your life. You spend the most time with you. You think. You pray. You study. You make decisions. You make choices. Every one of us influence ourselves more than we are influenced by outside activities or events or suggestions or opinions or convictions. Now, why is that important? Because you and I need to recognize that if everyone sees life in slightly a different way, then the way you and I ought to see life is to come into a good relationship with God and have what we call a heavenly perspective. And if no one influences you any more than you do, then you need to remain spirit-filled, anointed, on fire for God, positive, making the suggestions and the choices in your life something that will honor God so that it will edify you. You say, well, that sounds simple. It is simple to say. It is very, very difficult to live out on a daily basis. So let me read the text and then we'll discuss some of the things that we did last week and hopefully add to them. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will devote to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Last week, I shared with you three very simple thoughts. Everyone lives for some kind of treasure. The things that you treasure will control your heart, and whatever controls your heart will certainly dictate and control how you live. It will control your behavior. So let's go back and let me just review a little bit. Everyone lives for some kind of treasure. Jesus introduces the law of exclusivity. That is that you only have one of two choices. You will either live for the things of this earth, or you will live for the things of heaven. He gave us no ground for neutrality. He gave us no option of a third or fourth or fifth thing that we could live for. Either your treasure will be an earthly treasure, or it will be a heavenly treasure. Your master, no man can serve two, will either be your God or it will be the gods of this world. Your intent will either be to serve God and live for him, or to serve self and live for self. You have no other option according to this passage of Scripture. You're either earthly anchored, or you are walking lightly on this earth with your heart and even your head already in the heavens. Here's the thing that you and I need to understand tonight. We are not in control of our lives. We are going to yield that control to one of two things: our Father's purpose and plan, or Satan's deception and strategy. Now, if you hear nothing else that I say, let me repeat that and listen very closely. You think you've got the world on a string. You think you're running the show. You think you've got it figured out. You think you are in control. But the truth is, either the control of your life is in the nail-scarred hand of Almighty God, or it is in the hand of the hateful one, the despised one, the demonic one, who has your destruction in his mind. It's one or the other. You think, no, I'm in control of this. It won't be long from now before you will recognize that you really don't control anything in your life. You're either anchored on this earth and oblivious to heaven, or you are walking lightly on this earth knowing that your citizenship is in heaven, where all your treasure is being laid up. Now, please understand that. That truth is such a cardinal doctrine. It's such a central part of what Jesus is teaching us about living in light of eternity. This world is not your home. If you lay your treasures up here, he suggests that moth and rust can destroy them and that thieves can break in and steal. But he says if you lay your treasure up in heaven, there it will be safe and secure for all eternity. Now let me add to that this. This is new information, so listen with both ears. If there is an exclusivity about your pursuit, either earth or heaven, listen. Your behavior in any given situation is your attempt to move toward your treasure. Let me say that again. Your behavior in any set of circumstances is your attempt to move toward your treasure. Now let me show you by illustration. You're driving down the highway and someone cuts you off, and suddenly you're very angry. Your treasure's on this earth, because anger is self-defense. Now let me give you another side of that. Somebody walks up to you and says, I know you go to church. I know you're a Christian. Do you have time to talk with me and pray with me? And you take all the time necessary to share the good news of the gospel. And you embrace that brother or that sister. And you win them to Christ and invite them to church. And you share the time that you had planned to spend in some other pursuit with them. Walking lightly on this earth with your anchor in heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're pursuing one or the other of your treasures. You get your feelings hurt. Anybody in here ever get their feelings hurt? A little bit of honesty here? No, come on, a little bit more honesty. Get your feelings hurt. You're pursuing an earthly treasure. It's about you. Anybody in here ever praise God? It's about Him, heavenly treasure. Every behavior, any behavior, in any given situation is your attempt to move toward your treasure. If you choose God Almighty as your master, your heart moves toward Him. If you allow this world and the things of it to become your master, then you move toward the things of this earth that thrill your soul and excite your spirit and tickle your flesh. And therein lies the battle. And that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't let any other priority come in. You're living in light of eternity. Seek first God's kingdom. And that's why He says, press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Your motor should never be in neutral. Press on. Sail on. Seek the Lord. You should read the book of Hebrews. It says, you have a race to run. Don't be stalled out before you ever get started. Run the race with patience. Why? Because in every moment of every day, in every action and in every activity, in every conversation, at every turn, you are pursuing earthly or heavenly things. There is no neutrality. And some of us come to church 1 or 2 hours a week and think of ourselves as being totally pursuant of those things heavenly. And yet when we look at our daily life, there's no prayer time. There's little or no Bible study. We haven't witnessed in days, weeks, months, years, or ever, and we call ourselves active Christians. Your behavior at any given moment in time will reveal what your truest treasure is. I hope that's not offensive, but I hope it's sobering. I hope you take it so seriously that you understand exactly why Jesus, through Paul and through the Ephesus epistle, said, you better put on the whole armor of God. You better think like a Christian. You better have a righteousness about you. You better gird your loins up. You better hold on to the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and have shoes on your feet that are ready to walk for the gospel. Why? Because you're in a battle. If you don't think that this world is battling against the things of God, if you don't think the devil is trying to steal you away from the things of the Lord, if you don't think the earth is trying to magnetize you and pull you toward itself, you don't understand the principles of Scripture. Number two, the thing that you treasure will control your heart. Now, I have an idea. I have a concept. I have a principle that I want to unpack before you tonight. In the last part of this passage, we've now covered the first part, beginning in verse 25, he starts talking about being anxious, stressful, worried. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep tonight? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to be okay? Will my needs be met? Will God do for me what I need to be done? He begins to talk about all of that. So listen, everyone lives for some kind of treasure, heavenly or earthly. Now here's the thing that you've got to grasp and connect. The thing that you treasure, heavenly, earthly, the thing that you treasure will control your heart. If you treasure a new house, a new car, a new suit, a new job, a better this, a bigger that, then that's going to be the pursuit of your heart. That's where your mind will camp. That's where your heart will stay. If you treasure the purity of Scripture, the holiness of God, righteousness, God's blessings, God's word, God's will, God's way, that's where your heart is going to camp. And then he brings into this stress and worry and anxiety. How does that fit? Help me preach for just a minute. I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, so I'm going to get about 100% with this hand lift. How many of you honestly believe that one of these days Jesus is going to rule and reign and you are going to rule and reign with him? How many of you believe that? That's pretty much. How many of you know he's already reigning? You're already ruling and reigning with him. What? There you go. There's the principle. Jesus Christ is alive and well. And his present reign now assures us of his future reign. If he's not reigning now, he's not going to reign then, because when God raised him from the dead, Peter said he's already been highly exalted. He's already at the right hand of the Father. He's already putting his enemy under his feet. And it says in 1 Corinthians, he will rule, he will reign until all of his enemies are destroyed. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. No, you didn't get that. Let me say that again. He said he will rule and he will reign until his last enemy is destroyed, and his last enemy is death. And death has not yet been destroyed. Not completely. We're dying. We're getting older. Our life is ebbing away. And until that enemy is ultimately and completely destroyed, he will reign. And that means he's reigning right now. He's reigning in heaven and already on this earth. You say, his kingdom? His kingdom's already come. The king is already with us. He is reigning. Now does it make sense that where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be? When you seek the things of this earth rather than the things of God, you are failing to recognize that his present reign guarantees his future reign. Here it is. Is God going to take care of me? Am I going to have enough to wear? Am I going to have something to eat? Am I going to have clothes to put on? Am I going to have a home to sleep in? Am I going to be okay? And Jesus says, don't you get it? I am the King of glory. My Father's rich in houses and lands and owns the wealth of the world in his hands. And it's not that I'm just going to reign and you're going to be all right. It's that I am reigning and you are all right. You are a child of the living God. And when we grasp that concept, then we begin to understand why it is so vital for us to seek the heavenly and refrain from the earthly. Because this earth is never, ever, ever going to meet your needs. You get a big house, you'll want a bigger one. You get $100, you'll want two. You get $1,000, you'll want two. This world is never going to meet your needs. It is never going to bless your soul. This world is never going to make you a better man. It's never going to make you a better woman. This world has absolutely nothing to offer to you. This world is out to destroy you, wreck you, tear down your home, tear up your marriage, take your children from you, and cause them to be prodigal. This world is not your friend. And if it is, you're no friend of God, John said. Now listen, that's tough stuff. And when you begin to grasp that, you see why the appeal is. Get your eyes off the things of this world and put them on the Lord. Because the future reign of Christ is certain, because the present reign of Christ is already a reality. Now, I've said that to get to this, and I've got to hurry from this point on. To the degree that I forget that he's already the King of Glory, to the degree that I forget that he's already on his throne, to the degree that I forget that he already rules and reigns, to the degree that I forget I am his child and I don't have to worry about what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, or where I'm going to live, if my bills are going to be paid, if I'm going to be okay, to the degree that I forget that Jesus Christ is Lord over all tonight, to whatever degree I forget that, to that degree, I'm going to be filled with stress and worry and anxiety. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Wherewithal shall I be clothed? Will God meet my need? And if I'm seeking the things of this earth, I am always going to be full of anxiety and stress and worry. If I'm seeking the things of this world, I'm going to always doubt whether my God is able. I'm going to be filled with unfaithfulness as I seek the things of this earth. But when I am seeking treasures in heaven, I will constantly be reminded that my God reigns, that he is Lord over all, that I am his child, that I am in a nail-scarred hand, and that he is and will forever take care of me. Now, the what ifs, the worries and the stress and the anxiety all comes when I fail to recognize that there's only two kinds of treasure, and that when I treasure this earth, my heart, my mind is going to be here. Listen, if the most important thing in your life is anchored to this earth, so is your heart. If the most important thing to you is invested in heaven, so is your heart. If making it big here is your goal, and not making heaven real to those around you is your goal, then you're anchored to this earth and not to the things of God. And let me tell you why that's so dangerous. Let me tell you what happens there. When you become need-focused instead of grace-focused, When you're constantly worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to go, what's going to happen, is your Father going to meet your needs? When you become need conscious, you forget to be grace conscious. And here's how that's dangerous. Here's how that's dangerous. Let me give you an illustration, best way I know how to do that, and I've got to hurry. You take your little child, let's make him 4 years old. That's a good age for this to happen. You take your little child and you go to Walmart. You go up and down the aisles at Walmart. Suddenly, your four-year-old child is going to see something that he what? Wants. He doesn't need it. But what? He what? He wants it. And then you say to him, you don't need that. And what happens? Suddenly what he wanted, he needs. He needs. And when you say no, and you should, by the way, when you say no all the way to the car, his bottom lip, my daddy didn't get me what I needed. Now, I'm not just trying to entertain you. I want you to get the point here, because you're a child too. And when you become need-focused, I prayed about it and God didn't do it. My daddy didn't meet my need. No. He's so wise, he didn't give you what you wanted. Because the majority of the time, what a four-year-old wants is not what a four-year-old needs. Never seen a four-year-old that didn't want a candy bar right before dinner. But he doesn't need a candy bar right before dinner. And a great many of the things that we want in our immaturity are not things that we really need. And according to this, our Heavenly Father knows what we need. Now, I'll just go you one further. He knows what you want. But he also knows what you need. And he meets your need as you seek his kingdom. He doesn't meet your need as you worry about your needs. He doesn't meet your need as you stress over what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live. He meets your needs as you seek his kingdom. When you turn your eyes off your needs and you focus your eyes on his grace, he meets your needs. You get that? That's the battle. That's the earth and the heavenly battle. The battle is that I constantly seek what I need instead of leaving my needs up to him and seeking his kingdom first so that my needs will be met by him for his honor and glory. When I become need-focused, One more quick thing here, because I've got you at this point and I want you to get that. If you're not real careful when you're need-focused and not grace-focused, you'll look at the people that God brings to your life and you will think that God brought these people into your life to meet your needs. I'm divorcing her because she doesn't make me happy. I'm walking out of this marriage because he's not who I thought he was. God doesn't bring people into your life for them to meet your needs. What if he brings people into your life for you to be anchored in heaven and share the truth of God's word with them so that their need can be met through his riches in glory? What if it's not about you? What if it's not about me? What if it's more about him meeting my need so he can be exalted as the reigning Lord over all. What if that's what it's about? Ladies and gentlemen, that is, if you don't already know, that is what it is about. You're not in my life to bless me. You're in my life for me to bless you. And if I read the rules right, when I bless you, it ought to bless me. When I give you a coat because you're cold, it ought to bless me. When I give you money because you're broke, it ought to bless me. When I feed you because you're hungry, it ought to bless me. And when I bless you, it ought to bless me if I've got my head on straight and my heart seeking heavenly things. Jesus didn't come to get blessed. He came to bless. And if you and I are seeking the things of God in heaven, we have come to bless his holy name and allow the blessings of God to fall on others. And that brings us to the third thought, and I'm going to quit. Everybody's looking for a treasure, earthly or heavenly. The thing that you treasure most is going to control your heart. And ladies and gentlemen, what controls your heart will control your behavior. The reason we constantly question God is because our heart's not right. The reason we constantly doubt God, O ye of little faith, he said, is because our heart's not right. The reason we constantly blame God, you didn't hear my prayer and answer it like I meant for you to, is because our heart's not right. The wisest man that the world has ever known is in control of my life and yours if we place it in his hands. He's not going to make any mistakes. He's Almighty God. He cannot make a mistake. He's perfect in all of his ways. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. And as I struggle and as you struggle with the things of this life, the more we understand that we have a treasure not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens, the more that we understand as we major on that treasure, our heart will take on a heavenly atmosphere. And the more we understand that as our heart takes on a heavenly atmosphere, our behavior will manifest that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hope these concepts will grip you and grace you, because you cannot serve two masters. But if you will serve the master and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will find its proper place to his glory and to your good. Let's stand together. Mike and I'll be here in the altar. Just a couple of verses played on the piano, and you the opportunity to trust Christ as Savior, to become a part of our church family, to profess him as Lord and follow him in baptism, or to just come and find a praying place as you begin to ask God, oh Lord, let the pursuit of my life be heavenly. Let me pursue holiness, purity, righteousness, the things of God. Because listen, one last time, this world and all that it contains will never, ever meet your needs. All it will do is cause your desires for things of this world to grow and minimize your desire for the things of God. You come.